For our scripture reading, we turn to the Gospel according to Matthew and chapter 7. And we read from verse 13 to 29. Verse 13 to 29. Hear the word of God. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Well, the text, the verses 21 to 23, and let's read them again. Now, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here ends the reading of Scripture. Blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but also keep it. Hallelujah. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's quite a sentence in the last verse. Let those that fear thee turn to me, thy truth to them will I proclaim. We have before us this morning a most amazing situation. Now, like I mentioned in the prayer, we learn almost daily how quickly and unexpectedly a people may come face to face with the risen and glorified Lord Jesus Christ through collisions or a sudden illness. Now, we confess concerning the Lord Jesus Christ that he will judge the living and the dead. And do we know how he will judge us when we appear before him? He speaks of himself as the good shepherd, and we learn that he carries the lost sheep home on his shoulders, and that he carries his lambs in his bosom. And so there are many descriptions of the Lord Jesus which speak of his kindness and his love. But at the same time, there are also other descriptions of him. Like, for instance, in Revelation 6:16, where all sorts of people cry out to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" And so the question always is, who shall we meet when our time has come? Shall we meet the good shepherd who welcomes us as saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord"? Or is it also possible for church people to experience the wrath of the Lamb, hearing the Lamb of God say to us, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, lawlessness"? That this is also a real possibility, we learn from the text before us this morning. And that is the theme of this morning's message, that we must not assume that we are in the kingdom just because we're doing some work in Christ's name. Beloved, we have, as I said here, a most amazing situation. The Lord Jesus speaks here of people who have, by their own confession, done three things during their life. First of all, they have prophesied in the name of Jesus. Now, we would say today that they preached in the name of Jesus. They have brought the word of the Lord Jesus Christ to others. They have proclaimed the truth in Christ with authority. They have not spoken on their own authority. No, they have spoken in Jesus' name. They have pointed to him alone. They have been nothing else but heralds of Christ. They have been his mouthpieces. But then there are others who have cast out, or the same people perhaps, who have cast out devils in the name of Jesus. And they have not just preached about devils. They have not just preached against devils. No, they have actually confronted devils in other people. They have come face to face with them and in Jesus' name commanded these devils to come out of those poor creatures possessed by them. Now, it's one thing to command a devil to come out. It is quite another thing for such a demon to obey such a command. But clearly, those devils have come out, have obeyed these heralds of Christ. These demons have yielded to the authority of the Lord Jesus claimed by these preachers or exorcists. Let us just think for a moment a bit deeper about this casting out of demons. Which one of us today is even able to clearly recognize that someone is demon-possessed? We may sometimes read of a person who does something awful and then think, what would make a person do a thing like that? We sometimes may be suspicious whether demonic power is at work in such a person. But to clearly recognize a demon or demons, and then to order such evil spirits out in the name and by the authority of Jesus, that is something, I would say, that is quite far from us. We may sometimes hear of spiritual warfare in other Christian circles, but exorcism remains something far removed from our Christian life, also from the lives and experiences of nearly all Christian ministers, so that when we read of these people casting out demons in Jesus' name, we find ourselves saying, those people must have had a great gift of discernment. Those people must have been well informed about the battle of the kingdom of light against the dominion of darkness. But then there is still a third group of people appearing before the Lord Jesus and saying what they have accomplished. They have also done many mighty works, it says, in Jesus' name. We are not told what those mighty works all may have been, but we only have to go to the Gospels and to the book of Acts to realize that no doubt among those mighty works were certainly healings of various kind. We remember that the Apostle Peter was used to bring Tabitha back from the dead. And so these people appearing before the Lord Jesus have also clearly demonstrated the resurrection power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ over the whole creation. Now, when have these people done all those things? When did they live? We are not told. No precise date is given. But we are told that when they shall tell the Lord Jesus, we are told when they shall tell the Lord Jesus about all the preaching and the casting out and the miracles which they have done. For that day has not yet come. For the Lord Jesus declares in verse 22, many will say to me in that day. And when is that day? Well, that is the last day. That is the day when the Lord Jesus shall return and be seated on the throne of judgment. That day has not yet come. We are still waiting for that day. So then, when have these preachers and exorcists and miracle workers lived? All we can say is that they have lived any time between the Lord Jesus' ministry on earth and the day of judgment. Some of these people may have lived in Jesus' days. Some of them may have lived during the first 100 years after Christ's resurrection. And some of them may be living right now, and others yet in the time to come. And so the Lord Jesus here speaks about a specific group of people spread over thousands of years. And the Lord declares that this group of people will be many. For he declares, many will say to me in that day. That is another thing that we must notice here. It is not so that the Lord Jesus asks them on that day, what have you done for me? No, these people volunteer the information about what they have done on earth. But if the Lord Jesus does not ask any questions, why are these people then telling them what they all have done on earth? because they are finding the gate to God's kingdom shut. That is not said directly here in the text by the Lord Jesus, but that is clearly implied here. Already in verses 13 and 14, we hear about the broad way which leads to destruction, and about the many who spend their life on that road. And then in verse 21, the Lord Jesus says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven." And so now look again at why those people are telling the Lord Jesus what they have all done on earth. "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." In other words, how come we are treated the way we are? How come the door is shut in our faces? How come that with all that we have done in thy name, we are not allowed to enter the kingdom? And this now, congregation, is that most amazing situation which faces us. Here are these people, some of whom have proclaimed the gospel, and others have cast out devils, and others have done many mighty works. And they've done all that in the name of and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And other believers most likely saw them as leading church workers. And nevertheless, they find themselves shut out from the kingdom of heaven on the day of judgment. And that we have understood this correctly is confirmed by the words of the Lord Jesus. "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. You're strangers to me. Depart from me, ye that work lawlessness." And to profess here means to declare publicly. Here are those many people who on earth have publicly made themselves known as servants of the Lord Jesus. And now that same Lord Jesus declares publicly before all the generations of the world and before all of heaven, "I never knew you." That is, "I did not know you when you did all these things in my name. And I do not recognize you now. Depart from me, you people who work lawlessness." He disowns them publicly. What an awful shock that will be for those many people. How is that possible? How can the Lord disown people who have done all these things in his name and shut them out from the kingdom of heaven? Is there no mistake? But the judge of all is very clear about it. The gate remains shut. What has happened? What is the matter with these many people? Why are they rejected? The Lord Jesus makes that also very clear in verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven." But have these people then not done the will of Jesus' Father in heaven? We would think that people that proclaim the gospel and drive out demons and do many mighty works in the name of the Lord Jesus, that such people are definitely doing the will of Jesus' Father in heaven. Is it not God's will that the testimony of the Lord Jesus be proclaimed to the ends of the earth? And does not the Lord Jesus command his disciples to be his witnesses to the end of the world? And was the message of the gospel not that Jesus had come to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised? And is this not precisely what these many people have been doing? And yet they find the gate shut and themselves cast out as workers of lawlessness. But why then? Well, look at the verses 16 to 20. And there the Lord Jesus declares in those verses that we may know the prophets by their fruit. He warns his people against, and I quote, false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves, that is, wolves who tear the meat of their prey to satisfy their great inner hunger. But how can you tell a true prophet from a ravenous wolf? You cannot see it on the outside. From the outside, such a wolf in sheep's clothing looks exactly like a sheep. And therefore the Lord says, you shall know them by their fruits. Just like you do not find grapes on thorn bushes nor figs on thistles, so false prophets simply cannot bring forth good fruit. But what then is good fruit? Is preaching the gospel and casting out demons and doing many mighty works in Jesus' name not good fruit? Clearly not. Clearly the Lord Jesus teaches us that there you can do all those things and still be a corrupt tree. We confess the same things in the canons of Dort, chapters 3 and 4, article 9, saying that the Lord God, and I quote, calls men by the gospel and confers upon them various gifts. There you have it. But that they, because of their own fault, quote, refuse to come and be converted, unquote. The Lord will give various gifts, but those who receive those gifts refuse to come and be converted. Now that is something that should make us sit up and take notice. How many people today would not rejoice and praise the Lord if they found themselves preaching the gospel and casting out demons and doing many mighty miracles in the name of Jesus? And how many people would not crowd around such people and declare to them, praise the Lord, the Lord is really with you. You are a true man of God today, even you are a true woman of God. How much rejoicing would there not be if these things would be happening among us? How many people would not come and join us, eager to witness the power of the Lord? And how would we not rejoice in such preaching and such mighty works and praise and thank the Lord? And yet the Lord himself warns against all that excitement in Luke 10, verse 20. Then the 70 disciples returned from their ministry with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils were subject unto us through thy name. And then the Lord Jesus tempers their joy with these words, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, what good does it do you if you can preach and heal out demons, but the gate of the kingdom remains shut to you? So what then are we taught thus far from the words of the Savior? Well, first of all, only those shall enter the kingdom of heaven who do the will of his Father in heaven. And secondly, you can preach the gospel and cast out demons and do many mighty works, all in the name of Jesus, and yet not be doing the will of the Lord. The question then is, when are we doing the will of God the Father? Well, the Lord Jesus tells us in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And we find the same answer in verse 26. "And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand." What is doing the will of God the Father? Doing these sayings of the Lord Jesus. How do we know that? Because verse 24 is directly connected to verse 23. Right after having condemned these preachers and exorcists and miracle workers, the Lord Jesus continues with the word, "Therefore." "Therefore, those who hear my words but do not do them are just as a foolish man who built his house without any foundation whatsoever." In other words, those who preach and exorcise demons and work miracles without doing the will of Jesus' Father in heaven are building on sand. Who today in our communities would ever build a house without any foundation, laying the lumber or the brick for the walls smack on the dirt? The whole community would think such a person very, very foolish. "Now," says the Lord Jesus, "just as foolish are those people who hear my words and do not do them." It's very clear then that we must hear this and we must let this sink in. We can preach and we can even drive out demons and work miracles and yet not be doing the will of Jesus' Father in heaven. That is why those preachers and exorcists and miracle workers are kept out of the kingdom of heaven, because they were workers of iniquity, evildoers. But when then do we do the will of the Father, of the Lord Jesus? When we hear the sayings of the Lord Jesus and do them. And those who do the word of the Lord are the workers of righteousness. They are keepers of God's word. And that's why those preachers and exorcists and miracle workers ended up outside the kingdom, because they did not do those sayings of Jesus, even though they heard them. And that's clearly being very foolish, telling others the word of the Lord and ignoring it yourself. And yet that danger is so great, dear people. Even the Apostle Paul recognized that danger. That's why he wrote to the Corinthian believers, "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." There you have it. "Lest I, by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be shut out." That's the great danger for all gospel workers, for all ministers, that they bring the word of God to others and do not apply it to their own hearts. Clearly, it is possible to bring the light of the world to others while I remain in darkness, while I myself remain blind. But what then are these sayings of the Lord Jesus? Well, the Lord Jesus speaks these words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And so we must conclude that our Lord means by these sayings of mine, The whole Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. If we only hear those words of the Sermon on the Mount, we will not enter the kingdom. That is what the Lord Jesus is saying here. We must also do them. We must live them. So what then shall we do? Shall we mark down all the directions of the Lord Jesus and then force ourselves to practice them? Does this mean that we will have to be saved by works? Must we be saved by our self-determined will? I will force myself to do these things? No. For the Lord Jesus also says that these good works must come out of us as good fruit is brought forth by a good tree. Can a good tree bring forth evil fruit? No, it cannot. Can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit? No, it cannot either. Can a corrupt person bring forth works acceptable in God's sight? No, he or she cannot. No matter how much a person forces himself, no matter how much he wills it, he is unable to bring forth truly good works, just like an E. coli affected well cannot bring forth clean water. In the same way, a corrupt person is totally affected by sin. His mind is affected. He cannot think one truly pure thought. His heart, his emotions, his will, his whole being, all are corrupt. That's what God's word teaches us. Now, we may have learned this. We may even confess that this is true. But to live out of this truth, that is something else. The Apostle Paul confesses, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." The law is spiritual. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus makes so clear to us in the Sermon on the Mount. Everything which he says there is spiritual. Take, for instance, the matter of prayer. The Lord Jesus tells us there that when we pray, we are to go into a private room, close the door behind us so that no one shall know what we are praying. We are definitely not to do it publicly on the streets. But how quickly we forget. Think of all the prayers on the streets by the Jesus marches and the anti-abortion demonstrators and who knows what else. It also means that we do not let others know about our own personal prayer life. And yet again and again, people fall into the trap of boasting about prayer life, even though it is, of course, a humble boasting, like, by the grace of God, I have been really led to a solid prayer life, and what a difference that makes. And that is not doing the saying of the Lord Jesus. There, the old self comes in again, boasting under the cloak of humility. And that happens so easily with so much of our spiritual life. But who is able to do all these sayings of the Lord? Is it not foolish to think that we can? Yet, yes, it is. A foolish man who thinks that he is doing all these sayings of Jesus when he preaches and exorcises demons and does many mighty works in Jesus' name. For the Lord Jesus makes it very clear that this is totally impossible. The Lord Jesus demands nothing less than that we truly do all that he says in those three chapters of Matthew. And when we are preaching the message of the Lord Jesus, we are to do this with total purity of heart. And nothing must corrupt that message. Of course, that's impossible. As Scripture teaches us, we have this treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels. Who is sufficient unto these things? And when we, by the grace of God, may bring deliverance to one who is oppressed or be used for a mighty work, then we should be silent in humble adoration before the throne of grace instead of going on the victory tour. We're foolish when we do not realize that we always fall short of the glory of God, that we are never upholding the law of God perfectly, and that we are never giving God the glory which is His by right. When we do not realize that, then we're building on sand, regardless how good our intentions may be. But when we begin to recognize the corruptness and begin to confess in true humility, Lord, I am unable to do these sayings of thine, then there is a beginning of true wisdom. Because then I'm beginning to come before the Lord God in truth. When I come before Him as my judge now, today, and when I test myself against these sayings of the Lord Jesus, then I will begin to know the real truth about myself. And that truth is that I am at heart by nature an evildoer, a worker of lawlessness. Not that I'm publicly a bad person, but deep within me there is resistance to parts of the Word of God. I will gladly do many things which the Lord God holds before me. But there are times when I ignore what He says, although I know it very well. And that means that when all is said and done, I seek to remain master of my own life and will be a rebel over against the Lord God. For those sayings of the Lord which I do because I want to do them. Just as there are parts of His sayings which I do not do because I do not want to do them. And so when I'm able to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus and cast out demons in the name of Jesus, do many mighty works in the name of Jesus, then everything is not automatically well between the Lord and me. He indeed may enable me to do all that, even if things are not right between Him and me, just as He enabled Balaam. You remember Balaam of the donkey? He enabled Balaam to prophesy. But by serving him that way, I would not be saved. Not even when I'm doing all these things in His name, preaching, tramping down the devil, chasing away sickness and death. Beloved, it is possible for me to think that I'm already tasting the victory of the resurrection and are already walking in glory land while I am blind for all these sayings of the Lord Jesus. But when that is the case, then I am, says the Lord Jesus, a foolish man, just as foolish as someone who builds his house by laying the lumber and the brick right on top of the soil. And when I keep on going like that till the last day, I will hear the Lord say also to me, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evil worker. When then are we wise? When we not only hear these sayings of the Lord Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, but also earnestly seek to do them. And then we discover by the Spirit of God that we are indeed unable to do them in our own strength. And then we will come to recognize that we are indeed corrupt in every way, that we are sinners falling short of the glory of God. And then the reality of Jesus' words will come to stare us unavoidably in the face. I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. And then we can only say, You are right and true. It is as you say, Lord. Nevertheless, have mercy upon your servant. And then, beloved, the mercy of the Lord will become known to us, not in bold, victorious strokes of tramping down demons and conquering sickness and death, but in his tenderness and taking us up in his loving kindness and cleansing us in his own blood and clothing us with his own perfect life. And then we find the kind and gentle shepherd who does not despise a broken and a contrite heart. And then the Lord Jesus comes to us as the only true wise man who alone has done the whole will of God. Therefore, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Yes, it's a most amazing situation which the Lord Jesus paints here before us with these preachers, exorcists, and miracle workers. Remember how surprised we were that these seemingly so mighty kingdom workers were being shut out of the kingdom? But now we know why. Because they were deep down so foolish and presumptuous, being ignorant of their true condition over against the Lord. Let us then test ourselves, that we may not die in foolishness and presumptuousness, but become wise in Christ, and that hearing this word, we may not meet up with the wrath of the Lamb, but instead be welcomed by the Good Shepherd saying to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Amen. Now go in peace, bearing the blessing of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.